Everything in music is completely and utterly dependent on how well we hear. You can practice scales and exercises and study music history and do 1,000 things to become a better musician, but there is one thing which has a direct effect on all these other areas. It is the one common denominator, the very root of music itself, and that is the ear and the process of musical perception. This is why it's important for a child to gain the sense of absolute pitch as young as possible. And the parent or teacher who helps a child to listen becomes responsible for a clearer perception that cannot be bought, nor can any amount of musical study ever replace. Absolute pitch, perfect pitch, for years it's been completely wrapped in an aura of musical mystique just because people didn't understand the ability. Only when you understand the nature of something can you then have a chance to develop it further. Absolute pitch gives musicians distinct advantages. Usually when you take music theory classes, you learn only relative pitch, the ability to feel the relationships between tones, as we do on our relative pitch ear training course. Relative pitch is also a vital tool for musicians because music is composed of relationships between tones. Of course, there's really not a complete perception of music without both of these two senses, because pitch involves both relationship on the surface level of perception and color on a deeper, more delicate level of perception. Only with absolute pitch and relative pitch both lively does the ear then experience the full scope of music in an integrated fashion. This is the truly musical ear of an artist. This is the reason why students with absolute pitch are usually at the head of the class in their music theory classes, as well as in applied music. The development of absolute pitch, we're going to find, is simple. It's always simple. It's nothing complicated. Instead of laying out a strict set of exercises or rules, what we're going to try to do is understand some simple principles which we can use to guide a child in learning how to hear more closely, how we can help a child gain perfect pitch as soon as possible so that he or she can use it and enjoy a broader awareness of hearing for the whole of his or her life. Even if you don't have perfect pitch yourself, you can still quickly develop it in your child just by working a few minutes each day with them. Just a few minutes of listening added to the regular activity of their practicing whatever instrument they play, so that the child learns to hear at the same time that he's learning how to play. I remember one seminar participant said, "Strange how some things that seem so hard are so simple." But what's even stranger, I think, is how such simple things have often been overlooked. I enjoy telling people at the beginning of the seminar that perfect pitch is really ridiculously simple. It's just a matter of listening. And often at the end of a session, I find an interesting and unpredicted result when they learn the mystery of perfect pitch and it's been explained. And then the participants hear the colors in our initial listening exercises. Well, sometimes it almost takes away the challenge. Perfect pitch may seem to be more desirable when one thinks that you can't attain it. Once the mystery is explained, then it seems to be much easier than people had thought it was. I enjoy this because absolute pitch is nothing more than a natural perception accomplished by nothing more than simple listening, a magical mystery which has been perplexing people for so long, which any musician can cultivate if he or she just knows how to listen more closely. It's so simple, people say, a child could do it. It's really not strange that absolute pitch turns out to be simple. What's strange is that listening is not more emphasized in a hearing art. I think the biggest irony in college music theory curricula is when you see Elementary Theory 1 in the catalog. As far as ear training goes, this class would usually start off with the most basic rudiments, such as learning to distinguish between a whole step or a half step. You'd be surprised at the number of college-age students who have to first tackle such an elementary study. Elementary ear training, I think, doesn't really belong in college and not even in high school. Elementary ear training can only have its rightful place in elementary school. The time to open up a child's ear is when they're as young as possible. Just imagine the richness of experience which that child who has learned to listen early will enjoy, and consider the advantage the child has in a musical art which is based entirely on listening. The important consideration with children is the fact that a child's ear is more innocent. It does not hear so much in terms of strict relationship as the adults. Remember, we said the adults has been conditioned to hear in terms of relationship. The undeveloped ear of the child may not hear in terms of either color or relationship. It's raw. The ear is raw. The child's ear hasn't been broken in, so to speak. This, in fact, actually, is the very reason why children generally are found with absolute pitch, rather than finding an adult who suddenly discovers the ability for the first time without practicing any exercises. A child's ear, because it's more innocent, may innocently stumble onto this delicate level of pitch color. This is especially true if the child is extra alert and extra bright, but it doesn't mean that a child is not bright if he doesn't pick up these colors. This is also the reason why adults will rarely develop perfect pitch spontaneously at a later age, unless, of course, they consciously practice these color hearing technique exercises in order to develop it. Once the ear loses its innocence, the innocence of childhood, and becomes habituated to hearing horizontally on the surface level of perception, there is little chance of ever discovering the deeper colors without having them pointed out. If you don't know that these colors exist, what would ever prompt you to listen for them? And because they're so subtle, the ear will very rarely stumble onto them of its own accord after it has lost this childhood innocence and has adopted a surface style of listening. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that the adult is incapable of hearing the colors. You know from your own experience that as soon as you knew what to listen for, almost everyone heard immediately. From then on, it's just a matter of training the ear to get into the habit of listening more closely on all levels. This is the reason why it's important to start ear training as young as possible. Now, a child who innocently stumbles onto these color sounds will notice spontaneously that F sharp sounds a certain way, and A flat sounds differently. The child will certainly not intellectualize the experience. He just notices these color sounds. After some time, he just knows them. If you ask how he knows it, how do you know that that is an F sharp? How do you know that this is an A flat? He won't be able to tell you, because even though he knows the pitches perceptually, it doesn't mean that he can explain the experience intellectually. It's the same as when a child is learning visual color. Once he sees that the vibrant color is called red and the brighter color is called yellow, he just knows them. Now, he won't necessarily intellectualize that red looks vibrant and yellow is bright. He just knows them for what they are. This is what we call innocence of perception, and this is just what happens with absolute pitch. Virtually any musical child can learn to name any pitch by ear. But how many parents or teachers actually sit down and teach a child to identify tones the same way they taught the child to recognize visual colors? It's one thing to point to a note on the piano, for instance, and say, "Here's C." All we've really taught that child is how to find a key on the piano by visually locating it. But we haven't done anything towards helping him recognize that tone by ear. It's quite another thing to play this C and have the child listen in order to learn its sound. This is ear training. And the child will learn the musical tones exactly as he learned the visual colors. So an important practical point we have to realize is that a parent or teacher has to take the time to sit down and play tones for the children so that they can learn them. It doesn't take much time. All it takes is a few minutes each day, sometime during the child's practice session on whatever instrument he or she is studying. And that means 3, 4, 5 minutes, that's all. Then the child just practices as usual. This tiny, tiny addition to a child's regular practice will make all the difference in the world. It will make the difference between that child possessing perfect pitch or having to take all kinds of ear training classes in high school and college in order to try to catch up on what should have been a natural, established perception.